Our conversation with the coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. And I'm sure you can get hand sanitizer when you go to Star Market next time. You know, I've got basketball stuff here. I want to get to it. You know how much I like getting to it. But it seems like we're in a place that we've never been before, sort of waiting for direction. All of us trying to, I guess that's life, right? Trying to do your job, do what you do every day, when obviously it's not an everyday situation right now.
It's really unique. All the different media restrictions and being in different, you know, just having the rules of being 8 feet apart and all that, and waiting for what's next with regard to what they decide to do with games. I mean, it's amazing when you see like the Ivy League cancel its basketball games, Harvard trying to cancel classes. And I had a thing at my alma mater canceled last night that was supposed to have a couple thousand people there. And so it's a unique time. And but we have to be conscious that we have a lot to, you know, we just got to all be alert and follow the lead of the professionals.
And again, we apologize for the background noise. We are doing some things a little bit differently here, as you probably have figured out from the sound behind us. I was 8 feet apart, so I didn't hear anything you just said. Could you repeat that a little louder?
What?
Exactly. All right, I'll try. You know how hard it is for me to try to be serious for both of us, but we'll try. This is my thought coming off the game on Sunday night was, is one of the, if not the hardest part about your job, one of the underrated parts, one-point games, because there are 200 possessions. And how you feel afterwards about it, yeah. Particularly when you've had a series of them, the tendency to overadjust or to react to other people's reactions again, maybe, which is sort of the big picture of what we're talking about in life as well right now, when these games, so many of them, could have gone the other way.
Yeah, but two of the last three, the Brooklyn game and then Oklahoma City game. You know, the Oklahoma City game, we come back. Maybe we shouldn't have been in that position. But we come back and took a one-point lead and had the ball, and you know, you gotta give yourself a better chance to close that out than we did. And then the Brooklyn game, you know, that was just a full-on gotta finish. And it's been one of our strengths over the last few years, and it certainly hasn't been this week. And you know, I think at that point in time, you take inventory of everything, starting with me and starting with how we're going to do things and who's going to be in what positions and those type of things, and make sure that we don't put ourselves in that position again. I guess if we have to go through it at some time, I'm glad it happened 19 games before the playoff starts.
One of the things you said today, which I kind of took note of, because then on the surface it goes sort of contrary to the idea of every possession is the same and next possession, you talked about ending quarters better. Yeah. And it just made me think that people, I often realize Max and I talk about things like in the course of the play-by-play, we'll say 2-for-1 really quick, and people may not really know what that is and why a quarter is different, yeah, at the end of a quarter, but why is the end of a quarter different from a regular possession?
I mean, first of all, we were good at the end of the first quarter. We were bad at the end of the second, real bad. Probably got them back in the game. We were up 18, and it went to 11 in 1 minute. We were not good at the end of the third. And then at the end of the fourth, we actually had our moments in the last minute, but then we, you know, obviously had the turnover late. We've just got to be a lot better. The interesting part is we watched the last minute of each quarter with the guys yesterday. In the third quarter, we were up 7, I think, and Chris Paul actually did a 3-for-2.
Yeah.
And that's the way you got to be thinking the game.
Yeah.
And so he scored. We got the ball. I don't remember what happened. We might have even hit a shot to go up 6. Grant Williams hit the 3. They come back down, score. We go back down, don't get anything, and then Schroeder hits the 3 at the horn, and now it's a 1-point game. He's thinking that far ahead. And we just have to be – we have to be better in those moments. But those are great learning things. And, again, we got to clean up everything. We got some stuff to clean up, obviously, as we get ready for this stretch run.
Probably seen a little more zone in the last few weeks, and the Pacers have been playing it more than we have seen the Pacers play the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, we saw it a little bit in the Brooklyn game, but we attacked it well, and they got out of it. We've seen it in other games throughout the year. But historically, we've been pretty good attacking it. But when you have a couple of bigs in there now, I think that is one thing you have to consider, just because, you know, you've got the spacing is such that you're going to guard the corners, you're going to guard the slots, and the 2-3 zone allows you to get to those areas pretty quickly. That's why you have to overload it, cut through the middle, you know, attack the traditional areas that you attack a zone.
I suppose when you watch with your trained eye, you see Oladipo and you see Victor Oladipo still trying to become what he was, but you're preparing for what he really is.
There's no doubt. And we all know, too, that sometimes it just clicks in one game,
yep.
Especially when you're coming back. I admire how he's playing because he's playing at a pace that's different, but he's still very effective. He's making jump shots. And this first game back is just a ludicrous testimony to his mental will. Like, he's 1-for-7, and he hits a 3 from 30 feet to send the game into overtime. Just an amazing player.
That's the head coach. This is normally where I say something sarcastic or funny or whatever, but this might be one of the most bizarre circumstances I think any of us have ever been in.
It's really, it's especially bizarre, I'm assuming, for the media, because, you know, you guys are also talking about it all the time. The only time that we're really talking about it is when we're answering questions or in this, because otherwise we're in our small groups, our meetings, our on the court together, and the place where it has affected us most is our interactions with our media. So it'll be interesting to see now with the interactions with the fans, you know, people not being able to come back after the game, you know, family members and the such, you know, you're going to have to continue to stand 8 feet away at least, you know, and which is probably good because I can hear you and I don't really care, you know, especially when we're struggling, like, it's probably best for me just to be, you know, blab and gibberish and not be heard and all that stuff anyways.
That's the head coach. Celtics and Pacers next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.